Amen. I encourage you to look to God in 2019. I think there's some really good days ahead. It's exciting to think about it. This morning, we're going to get back. We have two more weeks to finish the Ephesians series. And so before Christmas, we were working through the book of Ephesians, and it's been really eye-opening to see the truths that God reveals in this incredible book. And in these last couple weeks of finishing it up, the challenge is there's so much in this last chapter and a half or so of the book of Ephesians. And as I was getting ready to preach from this passage, I was just like, oh, there's so much that I want to be able to get into. And it's impossible to plumb the depths of Ephesians, you could put it. And so again, like I was mentioning earlier about life groups, and I would just encourage you to be involved in the middle of your week, in the run of your week, with groups of people who just love Jesus and talk about scriptures. And not just talk about it, but talk about, like, how does this apply to our lives? Like, what does it actually look like to put these truths into practice? Because just talking about them in a heady, intellectual kind of way, it does nothing for your life. And so I just want to say that, and I want you to just even think about that for a second. As we talk about the scripture and what God has revealed to us, if that's all we do, if it stops here, this doesn't do anything to bring change to your life. The most important thing we can do as followers of Christ is just to take what he says and then apply it to our lives. And one of the ways that he helps us do that is in relationship with other people who are seeking to follow Jesus. God has given gifts to each one of us that are in this room. And as we meet with each other one-on-one, we have opportunities to challenge each other and just to even give different perspectives on how God is revealing to us as to how to live. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. And this week, this is a huge topic, and I'm actually not going to go long with it because we're going to take communion together. But we're going to talk about submitting to each other. And so submitting is kind of a difficult word to think about, right? Like if I was to, like, just, I want you to think about some of the people in your life that represent an authority figure, and if they're demanding of you to submit to them, like, what kind of feelings does that cause you to feel just at, like, thinking about that? Some of the authority figures that are like, they insist on your submission, right? And so scripture teaches us about what it means to submit to each other. And it's a challenging topic because we've seen the abuse of authority over and over again. And probably, even as I talk about this word, submission, you can probably think of 10, 15 people off the top of your head that are in positions of authority that have abused that authority and have used it in a horrible, horrible way. So the challenge in talking about submission from the perspective of Scripture is getting over that. And so I just want to encourage you, just have your hearts open to what God is saying about this topic, because I think probably all of us have experienced the negative side of submission. Like, we've seen people that are in positions of authority that very probably shouldn't be, and that they abuse that authority and have caused lots of hurt to others. And so just even thinking about it is difficult. And I want to give you a definition of the word submit. So the word submit means to give over or yield to the power or authority of another. It's challenging, right? Like when you think about, and the first verse of what we're going to read it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse starting in verse 21 today. And the first verse in that section just says, submit to one another, which is this, it's a challenge, right? So I want to tell you a story just to start off and then get into what the scriptures say about this. But the this topic of submission, the reason it's a challenge is because we don't like to yield ourselves to the authority of another. And maybe you're like, well, I love to do that, okay? So that's fine. But for most people, I would say probably we have a challenge with that. And one of the struggles that I've had in my life, I really don't love rules. And so I love Jesus, and I love, you know, following God with all my heart, and I love the scriptures, but I've always struggled with rules. Like, when I go to a place where there's, like, it's very rigid and structured, and this is the way you want to do it, like, I almost want to do the opposite, not just because I disagree, but just because I don't like being told what to do. I don't know if you can relate with that or not, right? But rules, sometimes when we're being faced with, like, very rigid, structured rules, there's something in us that's like, we just resist that. And this is something God has dealt with and I think still is dealing with in my life in a big way. I went to Bible school 5 years ago. I just graduated about a year and a half ago, just before coming to Thunder Bay. And 2 years before going to this Bible school, I was leading a youth outreach evangelism team. And we actually connected with this Bible school that I would later go to. But I didn't know I was going to go to this Bible school. But the vice president that was dealing with our team at the time, he was the rule guy. Like, he was the guy at the school that was like very structured, very rigid with how things needed to be done. And because I was bringing a team into this Bible school to do our training, I had to deal with him directly. And he just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, and I remember, I distinctly remember the conversation with my wife, because I was like, I want to go to him and just tell him, like, you're being really not Christian. Like, you call yourself a Christian, you work at this Bible school, but you're just being very rigid and way too structured. And I was like, I was thinking in my mind, like, I want to set this guy in place. I had a really good conversation with my wife and decided that I shouldn't do that and my attitude was wrong. And anyways, we carried on with this relationship. And then God later called me to go to Bible school. And when God opened the door for me to go there, I also had a job as the resident director. And guess who my boss was? Like, my boss, the guy that I answered to directly, was this guy that I'd had this issue with, this struggle with. And I really think God did this on purpose. Over the 4 years that I was at this Bible school, I actually grew really close to him. But there was many occasions where I had to submit to his authority, and I really didn't want to. Like, it just bothered me, right? And I'm not saying that I was wrong in my attitude, but there was just like, I had a really difficult time submitting to him because there were things that I just didn't agree with, or I would do it differently. But here, and we're going to read it in Ephesians, when Paul starts off this whole section, he says in verse 21, and we'll read the whole thing, but I just want to read this verse before we read the rest of the chapter. Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so the reason we submit to each other isn't because we always agree with each other, or isn't because we agree with those that are in positions of authority. We actually submit out of our reverence for Christ. And I'm going to finish with this, but the word reverence that Paul uses here, it actually comes from the Greek word phobia, which is where we get our word for phobias. And so when you have a phobia, you're afraid of something, right? You're like, it makes you terrified, or you won't go near it, or you react to it. And that's the word that Paul is using here, out of reverence for Christ. So the reason we submit to authorities isn't because we agree with those authorities all the time, isn't because we want to, it's out of this reverence for Christ. And so if we have this reverence for Christ, if we have this desire to be like, okay, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I realize that you are the creator of the universe, so because of that realization, I'm going to submit because you're asking me to. Like, that actually will give us the strength to do what we need to. And this story that I told you to begin with, this boss actually became a really close friend. And to this day, we're close. And if I had given in to what I wanted, we wouldn't have been close at all. I probably wouldn't have got a job or even went to the university or ended up in Thunder Bay, actually, at all. Because it was just through all of that that God ended up leading us here. And so when I think back to that, I'm like, there's just something in us that resists wanting to submit. But there's a blessing that comes with being obedient to God. And so I'm going to read this section. Before I do, I'm going to pray, because I know this is an issue that's really difficult. And Paul's going to highlight a couple things in here. He's talking about marriage. He's talking about submitting to masters. And he's also talking about submitting parents to children. And so these are all relationships that we're very familiar with. And it's challenging. And my desire as we read this is that we would hear what God has to say about it, and that he would bring us to a place of just being willing to do what he says. And out of that, I believe we'll experience his blessing in an incredible way. So let's pray, and then we'll read this passage. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word, for what you've revealed to us. And God, as we talk about this topic of submission, it's pretty challenging because a lot of times we don't want to submit to people in positions of authority. But Lord, in this passage, you give us some incredible truths, and a lot of these truths are things we haven't really thought of before, And I just pray that you would challenge our hearts and make us more like you and help us to be willing, out of our reverence for you, to obey what you say. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it's Ephesians chapter 5. It'll be up on the screen, and if you want to follow along in your Bible or on your phone, you can do that. It's starting in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. And so I really want to get into, there's just a core portion of this that I want to highlight. But before I do, there's a couple things that I just need to address, because as you read a passage like this, it brings up questions, and rightfully so. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to remember as you read Scripture is that Paul was writing this book of Ephesians 2,000 years ago to a group of people that understood the language he was using, that understood the words that he was using to convey the message. And sometimes when we read Scripture, we're reading it 2,000 years later with all kinds of different words and with different history that Paul wasn't addressing or talking about. So it'd be similar today if I said to you 9/11, you know exactly what I mean when I say 9/11, right? Or if I say the word Trump, that automatically brings something to your mind, right? There's a song, I think it's a Christmas song or a hymn, but it talks about, and the Trump will resound. You know, and every time I like sing that in church now, it like has a totally different meaning. I'm like, the Trump is definitely resounding. But words mean something to us, right? And so when Paul was talking about what he was talking about, it's easy for us to try to understand what he was saying in our context. And sometimes we get confused with the message of Scripture because we're reading into it our current context. And so I want to highlight to you, don't hear what the Scriptures are not saying. And this is, just remember this, okay? Like if you have to write this down or just remember it. When you're reading Scripture, be careful that you're not hearing what the Scriptures are not saying. Sometimes when we read the Scriptures, we're hearing things that the Scriptures aren't teaching because of our context and because of our experiences and because of the things that have gone on. And so in this passage, and I don't have time to get into all of this, and again, this is why I think life groups and conversations with each other are so important, because you can really discuss some of these things and look into it deeper. But I just want to point this out, that in this passage, Paul is not condoning slavery as we might understand it, given our historical context. He's not giving permission for abusive, power-hungry husbands to dominate their wives. Paul is not talking about that in the Scripture. And he's not instructing fathers on how to be abusive and overbearing to their children. So, and you're going to notice this, because I want to highlight this when it talks about submission. when Paul is talking about this in Scripture, he's actually putting more pressure on those that are in positions of authority than the ones that he's telling to submit to authority. So the challenge that he gives, and we'll cover this a little bit more later, for example, when he talks to husbands and wives, the pressure he puts on the husband is actually more than the pressure that he puts on the wife. Like, before a husband could ever try to use the Scripture to say, hey, you know, you need to submit, Paul is saying here, you've got to love your wife the same way you love your own body. So, we have gotten ourselves into more trouble than anyone else, but we still treat ourselves to, like, three meals a day, right? When you're thirsty, you still treat yourself to a nice cold glass of water. No matter how much trouble you've gotten yourself into, we still serve ourselves. We still take care of our own body. And Paul is saying, that's how you're supposed to love your wife. And how you Christ loved the church, that's how much you're supposed to love your wife. So he's putting a lot of pressure on those that are in these positions. And another, I just want to cover this before we get into this any deeper. Gene actually sent this to me a couple weeks ago. In the Museum of the Bible in D.C., which is a fairly new museum, they have in one of their exhibits this slavery Bible. And the slavery Bible, during the slave trade of the 1800s, a lot of people were using scriptures to try to justify the slave trade. And it was wrong and it was sinful. And in this museum, they have this slave Bible. And in this portion of the Bible, what the people that made this Bible did was they removed any scripture that had anything to do with liberation and freedom. And so basically, they took out 90% of the Old Testament and 50% of the New Testament. Like, they reduced the Bible to about a quarter of its original size. They had to take out everything that had anything to do with liberation in order to use some of the words to justify this wrong practice. And so, and it's really important to know that, because the Bible, and we're going to get into what submission leads to, understood correctly, understood properly, it leads to freedom for all people. Like, the desire that God has for each one of us is that we would be free, that we would experience incredible release from oppression, from bondage, and from all of the things in our life that hold us back and tie us down. That's the desire of God. So as we talk about this, just know that, and don't make sure you're not hearing what the scriptures are not saying. Another, and I'll point this out too, it's not up on the screen, but in 1 Peter, when Peter's talking to his church, he gives this incredible warning to husbands. He says to the husbands, if you're not honoring your wives, God won't even hear your prayers. And so a lot of times when people are using the scriptures abusively, they're using them out of context. They're taking something that they want to hear, and they're just using that to gain control or gain authority over somebody, but they're missing what's really being said. And so Peter says, like, as a husband, if you're not honoring your wife, if you're not treating her well, don't even expect God to hear your prayers. That's a pretty convicting thought. I desire with all my heart for God to hear my prayer. That one of my hopes as a follower of Jesus is that he does hear my prayer. And Peter gives this warning to the husbands that way. So just make sure, as you read scripture, that you're hearing what it's actually teaching. And so people who use the scriptures to force and manipulate others are using it incorrectly. And that's why Jesus, he was always mad in his ministry at the Pharisees, like upset, angry, and you can read. And I love reading Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were this group of people in the time of Jesus that tried to use truth. They tried to take the scriptures, the word of God, and use it to control people. They tried to use it to have authority over people so that people were under their thumb. And Jesus was always angry at this group of people because he was saying, you're missing it. You're completely missing the point of what the scriptures were meant to do. That really the desire of God, and it's revealed in scripture, is that we would have a relationship with him that leads to freedom and peace and harmony. And that's the desire that God has for us. And so authority must be used for the benefit of others. And there's a really famous guy that said this in a different way, and it's up on the slide. Do you recognize this guy on the screen? Uncle Ben? Anyone? You guys, okay. So it's Ben Parker. So in the movie Spider-Man, one of the first ones, like the early 2000 movies, back when it was Tobey Maguire, this is a really famous scene, and Uncle Ben is saying to this young Spider-Man right when he's just first got his powers, he says to him, with great power comes great responsibility. Okay? And so basically what he's saying is if you have great power or you have authority, whatever, like there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. Because when God gives authority, when God gives power, it's for the benefit of others. And so you might be like, well, why are you talking about Uncle Ben in church? I want to read to you the words of Jesus. And so this is in Matthew. And in this passage, Jesus talks about authority. And so if you don't trust Uncle Ben, that's okay. You trust Jesus, okay? Because his words on this are powerful. So, and listen, and so Jesus, he's explaining to his apostles, his disciples, okay? So Jesus knew that his mission was to come and reveal to us what it meant to have a relationship with God. Like the whole reason Jesus came, he lived amongst us, he died, and he rose again. He never wrote a book. He never started a weekly Sunday service. He never started like a movement that had specific parameters. What he did was he transformed the lives of these 12 men and then sent them out into the world to proclaim the gospel to everybody, everywhere. But the problem was, and Jesus knew this, as soon as you give people a position of authority, they use it selfishly. So people that have authority tend to want to use it selfishly. Even in talking about these passages, I struggle with it because I think about the many people that I've encountered that have tried to use these to justify their abuse, to justify their bad and horrible attitudes. And Jesus knew, giving these disciples authority, that they were going to be tempted to use it for themselves. And we can think about that in the realm of politics and in the realm of church, that people that get all kinds of people to follow them use that a lot of times selfishly and for wrong and with wrong motives. And so Jesus, before he sends them out, I want you to listen to how he explains to his followers how they're supposed to use authority. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so what Jesus is saying to these apostles, he's saying, you're going to be tempted to use your authority to lord it over other people. Like you're going to be tempted to want to use your position to gain power for yourself and to use your authority to control other people. And he says, you're completely missing it. Actually, what he was saying to his apostles at that time is if you do that, you're not even following me at that point. So what Jesus was saying is like, and he says it in here, like he was the one that had come to deliver the message of God's truth to the whole world. But the way that he did it was that he served the people that he had authority over. Like he laid down his life on behalf of the people that he was in authority over. He says, if you really want to be great, and it's the complete opposite of what the world tells us. Jesus is saying here, if you really want to be great, serve the people that are under you. Leaders that use their positions of authority for themselves and for selfish reasons are completely missing the gospel that Jesus came to give us. Jesus is saying, like, the greatest leader of all is the one that serves others. So Jesus modeled this because when he was here ministering to his apostles, there's a story where right before Jesus went to the cross, he has his disciples all in this upper room and they're having a meal together. And usually in these days, 2,000 years ago, when people would come together in someone's house for a meal, there was a servant or a slave that would wash their feet. Because back in those days, they didn't wear boots and shoes because they didn't have snow. And we have more coming, by the way. Now they're like 25 centimeters, which is awesome, right? No? But they didn't. So they walked through the dirt and they walked through poop that was on the road. They walked through, like, when the horses and mules and camels were going through, they were using the bathroom all over the road. So their feet were dirty. When people would arrive at someone's home, there was a designated servant whose job was to clean their feet. And so all of the disciples are in this upper room and they're about to have a meal. And Jesus does the unthinkable. So he takes his towel and wraps it around his waist and he goes with a water basin and he starts washing the feet of his disciples. And they're appalled. They're just like you're the leader of our group. We've come to believe that you're the leader of the whole world, that you're actually God in the flesh. What are you doing? You shouldn't be touching my feet. And Jesus was saying to them this is the kind of leadership that I'm modeling to you. Like, I'm not modeling to you that you become some superstar and you have this following of people and then they just serve you and do whatever you want. If you really want to be a leader, if you really want to have authority in my kingdom, this is how you do it. So he gets down on his knees and he washes the feet of his apostles. And that set the tone. So these guys, when they went out to minister from that point on, in their, they could never get to the point of using power to dominate, oppress, or control others because they'd seen Jesus use authority in the only way that authority was meant to be used, and that is to serve other people. So Uncle Ben in Spider-Man was actually right. He was in line with the teaching of Jesus. He was saying, with this great power comes great responsibility. And what God has given us as Christians and as followers of him is this mandate to be like him in how we use authority. And so in this passage, and we don't have time to get into each one of them, but I want to highlight, he talks to husbands. And Paul says, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and love them like you love your own bodies. And then he speaks to fathers. He says, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. And then he speaks to masters. Don't threaten your slaves. God is the master of both of you, and he has no favorites. And just so you know, when Paul was talking to masters and slaves in these days, it was a different system than the one that we've seen a couple hundred years ago in the slave trade. It was a different system altogether. And actually, the trajectory of what Paul is saying here, and he doesn't come right out and say it, but the trajectory of what he's saying to each of these three groups actually led to more freedom. Do you know that in these days, husbands and fathers and slave owners saw the people under them as just chattel, right? And chattel is just a word that, actually our real estate agent, we're looking for to buy a house, and our real estate agent used the word chattel, and I was like, I didn't even know people still use that word. But chattel just means property or possessions. And so each one of these relationships here, husbands, fathers, masters, the people that were under them, in these days especially, they just saw them just as like their property. They could do whatever they wanted. Nobody questioned. When a father in these days beat his child to a pulp, nobody could question that because that child was the property of the father. When a husband mistreated his wife or had multiple wives or did all kinds of things he shouldn't do, nobody questioned it because in these days, the wife was basically just the property of her husband. When a slave owner treated his slaves poorly and used his control abusively, people couldn't question it back in these days. But after, what Paul was talking about here was and he says it in each one of these categories, you're equal before God. Like, you can't go through this life in your position of authority thinking that you're superior to the people that you're in authority over, because God is the one who's made each one of you. God is the one that created you, and he is going to judge you equally when you stand before him. And so the trajectory of this, and this is really interesting, actually led to freedom. It actually led to equal rights between men and women. You know, and it's interesting to study people that fought for the abolition of slavery, that they had this revelation that, like Paul pointed out here, we were all made equal in God's sight, that we are God's creation, each one of us. And so a human being shouldn't be able to have the kind of control over another human being where they can just treat them however they want and oppress them and have the kind of authority over them where they can abuse them. And so the trajectory of this led people to realize, like, we serve this creator that is Lord over all of us, right? And so even this week, I was getting ready to preach this, and I'm a husband, okay? So the part where it talks about the husband, really, I found quite convicting. And the reason I wrestle with talking about these scriptures is because I've actually sat and talked with men who use these scriptures to say, well, my wife should submit to me and do whatever I say. And there's this one guy that I'm thinking of in particular, and I used to get so upset when I would talk to him because he had this like attitude about him that was like he just wanted her to do whatever he said, even if he was wrong and his attitude was wrong. And I remember having these conversations with him and like, but your attitude is so wrong. You're so far off from what Paul was talking about. And so I'm reading this and I'm getting ready to preach about it this week. And again, I'm being reminded that like Paul is saying to the husbands here, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And then I'm honestly thinking about my relationship with my wife, and I'm thinking, do I love her the same way that Jesus loves the church all the time? I can't say yes to that. For one, my wife's sitting right here, and then you could ask her afterwards, like, does Nathan do that? Just like Jesus loves the church? And she'd have to tell you, like, no, he doesn't do that all the time. I was super convicted in reading that. And then when Paul says in that passage where he says, and love your wives in the same way as you love your own body, like, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but like, you take care of your body pretty well, right? You think about how often you shower, how often you feed yourself, how often you go and get a cold glass of water. Like, we serve ourselves constantly. Like, one of the reasons, and if you're a husband here or you're in one of these other relationships, one of the reasons we don't like serving other people is because they annoy us, right? Sometimes they just tick us off, and we're like, I don't want to do anything for you. But if you internalize this, and just for a second, just like, allow yourself to be a little bit honest, you probably annoy yourself more than anybody else in your life. Like, you've probably talked yourself into more problems and issues than anybody else in your life. Like, you've probably gotten yourself into more trouble just on your own than your spouse or other people in your life have done. And we still take the time to take care of ourselves and serve ourselves. So Paul is saying here, he's saying, just like that, that's how you're supposed to love your wife. So in the middle of sermon prep, I had to stop and text Vicky and be like, I love you. Right? Like, I was just, because I was convicted and I was thinking, like, I don't think I do that well. And the problem with these passages is that a lot of times people want to use the passage to try to gain control over somebody else before they apply it to their own life. And here's my challenge to us this morning. Before you ever use scripture to try to tell somebody else how they should submit, ask yourself the question, am I doing what God is saying for me to do in this passage? Am I actually living that out? Because one of the things that I've seen that happens that is horrible, and I believe it grieves God's heart and actually makes him angry a lot of times, is people use the scriptures to argue and prove their own point instead of taking them and saying, am I living this out? And if you will take these messages and if you will internalize them and say, God, am I doing this perfectly? I guarantee you God will start to change your life, and he'll start to change even the relationships that you're in incredible ways. There's weight in there for every single one of us, no matter what side of the relationship we're on. And what Paul is describing here is how to have, and the whole point, the whole thrust of this Ephesians series is that Ephesians leads to peaceful living. If we internalize these practices and if we internalize these truths, it actually leads to peaceful living. And I would encourage you to do this. Before you ever think about using the scripture to tell someone else what they should do, ask, God, am I living this out? Am I living in obedience to what you've said to do? Because a lot of pain and a lot of hurt has come from people using this book to try to control others. And Jesus set the precedent right from day one. He said, you're never to use authority that way. You're never to use authority to try to gain control over other people. These truths God has given us so that our hearts can become more like him, which leads to incredibly peaceful relationships. And so the last verse I want to highlight is the first one that we read, and it just says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so this reverence for Christ, and this is, and I'm going to close with this because we're going to do communion. Gene's going to come up in a second and lead us in communion. But everything we do has got to be done out of a reverence for Christ. So when I started off by saying, like, I struggle with people that are rigid with rules, and sometimes when someone's like really rule-based and telling me how I'm supposed to do something, like everything in me just wants to like do the opposite of what they say. And God isn't saying in his word, well, you just got to do the right thing because the people that are in charge of you are right and you're supposed to submit to them. What God is revealing to us in this scripture is that we do what he's told us to do out of reverence for him, out of this holy fear of God. And even in my marriage, I really believe that my wife and I are close today more because of our love for Christ than just for our love for each other. If it was left up to just our love for each other, like some days we get super annoyed with each other. Like you can ask, like there's days where we're just like super annoyed. And marriages, and you've probably seen this maybe in your own life or in other people tend to drift apart because things come between them, they get angry, bitterness settles in, and people just drift apart, right? But I really believe that the reason that we're close today and the reason our marriage is strong today is because of our love for Jesus. So when we're tempted to let bitterness settle in our hearts so that we drift apart, my love for Jesus makes me realize, no, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to love my wife the same way Christ loved the church. And it draws me back. Not because I always want to work things out in the moment when I work things out with my wife, but because I know that's what Jesus said to do. And the end result is actually good. It actually leads to a blessed and healthy relationship, a marriage relationship, or an employee-employer relationship, or a child with their parent relationship. It's out of our reverence for Christ that we're obedient to what he says. And finally, before Gene comes up, God actually promises that he'll give us his Holy Spirit to enable us to do the things he's asking us. We don't have to do this in our own strength. We just have to surrender to him, and he'll enable us by his Spirit to live for him. And so as we do communion, Gene's going to come up and lead us in communion. And this fits really well with communion because communion represents taking the body of Christ in and just completely submitting to him. And it's a reminder that his Spirit is in us and enables us to do what he asks us to do.